Welcome to Holding Center, a podcast created to help you own and hold center stage, not only on show day, but also in your life. I'm your host, Ashley Markham, owner of Myo Strength, and joined with me is my co-host, Ashley Spoker, owner of B&B Fit. Let's hold center.
Oh, I like don't even know. But anyways, yeah, we could roll with that today. Let's do it.
I think it's good. I think it's good to just talk about like coach client communication and what that looks like. And obviously that boils down to like, what does your check-in process look like? What does coaching mean for you? And that also starts kind of like with your discovery calls, right? Your sales calls with coaches. It's like asking them what they look for in their check-ins. And everyone checks in differently. Everyone has different questions. And like, I know you do Loom videos. Yeah. Is that for everyone or is that only for special people?
Everyone.
Okay. So you do Loom videos. I tried that. I did not like it. That was not a good check-in process for me because it required me to feel like I had to constantly be on when I'm not always on, you know, in terms of like me being how I am right now. Like, you know, last week we didn't even fucking record because I couldn't stop crying. You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't imagine being sobbing. Weight looks good this week, guys. Like,
dude, like, yeah, no. And like, I think like one reason that like it's easy for me to do that, like, I mean, I could have like a terrible fucking day, but like being a nurse, like you show up like always turned on. Like, there is like healthcare, sick people does not wait. Like, you don't have a minute, especially being like in the ER. So it's like, for me to like turn on my customer service voice is like so fucking easy for me, but like
for
not
sure.
For like, oh yeah, like I can like, I could be like crying 1 minute and then like pick up the phone like the next and be like, yeah, dude, like what's up? Like, and no one would ever fucking know because like I have like, I don't know if that's like some psychological fucking issue, but
no, like, I think it's you have been with people more often. Like, that's literally your job, is to be surrounded by people constantly. And like, no offense, like, if you are going to be a nurse, where it is, especially since you're an ER nurse, like you have high fucking stress. But like, if I, let's say I go to the ER and I chopped off my arm or have a gunshot wound, if I see you sobbing, I'm going to freak the fuck out. And that's going to be so worse. So you have to play it cool versus me. Like, I did personal training for a bit, was on for that. But then most of the time it's like, I just am behind a computer. So it's like, I don't really need to not be fake, but you have a much better time controlling your emotions and putting on the face that you need to. I don't have that practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So like, yeah, I actually had somebody that actually checked in like last week or 2 weeks ago, and it was like their first check-in with me. And they're like, oh my God, like I love the Loom videos. Like, it feels so personable, X, Y, and Z, because they just like weren't used to that. And I also know too, like, I think it's like very person dependent too. With, and this just goes as like a whole for like society, is like your own like interpretation or like what you perceive. Like, if I were just to type it out, like you do a lot of typing out, right?
I do.
And but you're like really present on social media. That's a different thing too. So like, you know, like for before, like when we started bodybuilding, like social media wasn't the way that it is. People just posted pictures. They weren't doing lives. They weren't talking. Like, reels weren't really a thing. So like, for you not to hear that voice behind it, like you can take it in such a different way. But like, you know, for you, like, yes, you type, but like when you're on your podcast, when you're, or this podcast, your other podcast, your lives and stuff, I think you do a good job of like representing of like who you are, how you say it. So like, for you to type, I think like, yeah, it's very like fine. Like, you know, but like for some people, like, I don't think, like, I mean, perfect example, like Mark, like, I feel like if he, cause he sends me voice memos, but like, I feel like if he were just to like type some things out, I'd be like, oh man, like, you know, is that right? Is that wrong? Because he wasn't one person to really like talk a lot on social media, you know, like using his voice and the way that he pronunciates things, like, is it aggressive? Is it not? Like X, Y, and Z. Granted, like, me and you are higher level athletes, where like bodybuilding, it is like, you know, sit down and shit or get off the pot kind of thing. So, you know, I think it's very different, like you said, like with those check-ins and like also too, but like the person who is receiving it. So I also think like, I've had people too that are like, I don't like fucking want to watch your loom.
That's my thing is that when I did looms, the athlete feedback was like, this is nice and personal and I appreciate you taking the time, but I don't have time, which I mean, like if you have time to watch a YouTube video or scroll on TikTok or, you know, RIP to TikTok, but you know what I'm saying? Like you do have the time, but what I appreciate the most about check-ins being written is I don't do my check-ins in the grocery cart or the grocery cart, the grocery aisle or the checkout line. I'm sitting on my ass in front of my laptop. So my check-ins are much more thorough and well written out.
Right.
But I like to talk out loud when I'm talking to my athletes via a check-in. And then, you know, obviously for WhatsApp or something like that, it can be either longer or shorter winded. But I do like the emails so I can like tell them and talk to them. But I have a chance to think about it beforehand versus Loom. I felt like I like would have to think about it twice, think about what I wanted to say and what changes I wanted to do and then record. So I felt like I was doing twice the work and taking twice the time. And that for me wasn't a good check-in process. But that's why, like you said, I have the podcast. I do the weekly live. So that way people get a chance to see my personality and hear my voice and connect emotions. And maybe when they want to work with me, when they get my email response, they could hear me talking to them versus if I like to say something with a period, it's like, okay, you know what I'm saying? Like the okay, okay response where you're like, is she mad at me? So it's like, it's a balancing act. And Austin Stout did a really good class for newer coaches or just coaches in general when it comes to like the setup process and checking in and asking the right questions and how you want to communicate to your clients and your athletes, because like it can't necessarily be, you know, the same for everyone in terms of how you communicate, but the method of delivery should be the same for your own benefits. That way you're efficient with your check-in process.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Like you said, like with the looms, like, yeah, they can get pretty lengthy. I get that. I mean, like sometimes when I'm doing a lab review, like I'll have like a 15-minute fucking loom, like just like, you know, talking about everything, depending on how fucked up your internal health is, you know? But yeah, I actually started doing this like at the start of this year compared to like the end of last year. It's like, I'll send the loom and then I have like a recap and it just is like bullet points of like your wins, improvements or action items that need to get done, updates and changes that I'm giving you. And then like any answers to the questions that you have and any questions that I'm asking, because one, it helps me too, like when I'm scrolling back up, like through to give like that little summary and I'm like, oh, this is exactly what I talked about, what I needed. And then like, they can see it too, versus like, cause you know, half the time, like when you're listening to something, like you zone out after like, I don't know, me, it's like 3 minutes. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm checked out, you know? Yeah. Which is wild, but yeah, I definitely think like, obviously when it comes to like coaching and like checking in, like that's the biggest thing that we do, like is obviously like our check-ins. And then what would you say the second biggest thing is, like after your weekly check-ins,
like in terms of like what you should communicate to your coach or the frequency?
I was like kind of going like, okay, so like the biggest thing would be like check-ins, and then like what would you say, yeah, like I guess like the next step would be like the hierarchy of like needs. Like would you say it's like communicating with your coach when X, Y, and Z happens, training videos, like what, I mean, it's all going to be like different, but like, what does that make sense?
Yeah. So I think it is important to first understand like the context of who the athlete or the client is. Like there are some clients that I have that they don't send me training videos. I've said, hey, it would be good for you to do this. But like, if they don't see the value or see the importance, I'm not going to continue to be a dead horse about it because then I'm just wasting my breath. And it's like, they can only take this as far as they want to take it. So if you're not wanting to send training videos, or maybe that's not even your goal, it's like physique development. Like, you know, I think it'd be really cool to send like how big a win is. So like, so for example, let's say you're a functional health coach and or a functional health athlete, and you're struggling with constipation and you have like 1 or 2 BMs a week. If you have 5 days in a row where you like take a good steamer, I would be thrilled if you texted me and didn't wait for your check-in, because that would be cool for me to celebrate. So I think like monumental wins are great to celebrate with your coach. So that way, like you get snaps and claps and your coach is like, oh, thank God, my fucking programming is working. So I think that's cool. If you're a physique athlete, do training videos. Like I have athletes being like, hey, you can send me 5 training videos a week. Like, I want to make sure that when you send me videos, my feedback is implemented and it's quality. Because when I had more than 10 videos a week that they could send, or excuse me, more than 5, like, I was reiterating the same feedback each week. And I'm like, okay, this is too much. Like, it's one thing to like forget, but it's like if you're receiving feedback and not implementing it because you're either overwhelmed, you don't understand, or you forget, you're wasting time. So it's like I wanted quality feedback and quality videos. And so I kept it to 5, and it's been monumental. Like people are actually like hearing it, understanding it. We're having conversations if my feedback is poor and they don't understand, versus just like the quantity of videos just for the sake of sending them. So that's what I would say is important, is like understanding like what your goals are, and then is your communication lining up with it to where it's monumental and it is productive. That's the word I want to use. Productive communication, not constant communication. Because as you like notice, it's quality, not quantity.
Yeah, and I think that's where like a lot of people don't understand that because, you know, in this realm, a lot of people are like, okay, well, it's online, like, you know, and that's it can be a hard selling point for people too. And they're just like, okay, and it's like, well, like, yeah, I offer this communication. Like, I laugh sometimes when like coaches like put in their whatever offer, like, yeah, 24/7.
24/7.
Yeah, I'm like, no, first of all, work life balance. Let's talk about that. Like, you need a day off. Like, everyone should at least be taking one day off. And if you're not, you're fucking insane. But also too, like that's misleading because then clients tend to either like overshare or it's unrelated information to their programming and like you said, like what they need in their coaching experience or coaching clients experience. Like, you know, it'd be it's just I think sometimes like people just want to share everything because like sure, like as coaches, it's like, yeah, the more we know, the better we can help you. But not always to the point where, like, you know, a perfect, perfect, perfect fucking example I could say, and I think you can relate to this is like when, you know, we ask about stress, like, hey, how is stress, right? Like X, Y, and Z, like we know stress, you know, negatively impacts the physique and even just like your body as a whole. So like we know, like, right? So, you know, if you're having a lot of stress, sure, just being, hey, super high stress week, like I'm not doing a good job like of, you know, being able to downregulate. Like it's just obviously impacting me. So like what do you think I should do? Okay, well, like maybe we take training. Like that's a good conversation to have. I don't need you to be like, oh my God, this happened. Me and my girlfriend are like you do not need to send me a 18 chapter fucking book on what is going on. Like, sure, like if you feel the need, like I mean, people will be like, hey, look, like, you know, my family member's really sick, they're passing. Okay, fine. But like, you don't need to tell me like the insane details
The
that go wrong.
diagnosis,
Yeah. Like, it's just like, it's extra words. And then like, I feel like that is just like out of my realm. Like, that is like crossing the
It
line of like,
is.
hey, like, you need to be at a point where, you know, like, and I get it. Like, there's sometimes where like, I will share things like clients to be like, hey, like, this X, Y, and Z is happening. It's like, I get it. Like, I went through that same time. Like, what did I do during that time? I did this. Like, I stuck to my goals. I stuck to my plan. Like, it's shitty. It's terrible. It's hard. It sucks. Right. But in the grand scheme of things, like, you either sink or you swim. So I think like having that effective like communication that aligns with your goals of like, hey, like, keep it more black and white. It doesn't need to be like so like all of the excessive details that come with it. It's just like, hey, I'm stressed. This is what's going on. I feel overwhelmed. What can we do about it? Okay, great. I can help you. Absolutely. Like Ash was sharing that like her client was, I think she said functional health, whatever. She was pooping and was like, I'm gonna go to the gym. What day should I
Oh no,
train?
she
And
was a
then
competitor. I was like, oh no, that's why I
oh.
was so hard. I was harder in my communication, being like, no. Like, we don't train because it's on our piece of paper that says we train. If we're like pissing at our ass, like, dude, your body's hurting. She's in pain. Like, take a time out. But I like what you were saying about specifics. It's like, listen, it's good to recognize negative biofeedback. That's a part of athlete maturity. But then there also needs to be boundaries in communication when it comes to the level of detail and the specifics. Like, it's one thing to be like, hey, my family member's in poor health. You know, I'm stressed about it. I'm worried about it, versus giving the exact date they were in the hospital, why they were hospitalized, how you felt, whether they were serving, you know, chocolate or vanilla pudding in the cafeteria. Like, it's something where that's a high anxious client. And that's where it's like, listen, this is where I really want you to work with the therapist, right? It's so important to have that because I cannot give you the tools to calm the fuck down. Like, I can't, I can recommend all the books. I can recommend you a therapist, even. But there comes a place where it's just out of our scope when it comes to dealing with anxiety, dealing with eating disorders. That's a big one that obviously attracts coaches, is because we are manipulating the diet. And we have people that are like high functioning anxiety where they have a high level of maybe food aversion or food control issues. And it's like, listen, like, I will work with you while you were working with a therapist. But the clients that, honest to God, do the best are the ones that are both working with a therapist and a coach, because you get help and support from both people that you need. So therefore, you are more successful. So you have the tools in therapy for boundaries, for healthy coping mechanisms, and you have the coach that helps to support your diet and your exercise to support not only your physique goals, but then also the mental health, because we know the both coincide. But if you're the person that's like, oh, the gym is my therapy, you are the reason that you need a fucking therapist, right? Like, that is that's like code A, red alert, you need therapy. And like, I used to be that person. I don't know if you were, but I definitely used to be.
I quite literally hate when people are like, they'll be like, I'll pull them out of the gym for a week. And they're like, oh, my stress was so high because I couldn't go to the gym. And I was like, no, your stress is high because it's always been fucking high. The gym has been a distraction from it. It's not that the reason you're stressed is because you can't go to the fucking gym. It's because you have stress, period.
Because your perception's shit.
Oh my God, that was a huge game changer for me, actually. What is your perception of stress? Like, once I learned that like I was the fucking problem for stressing myself out, I'm like, no one else is like causing the stress but me. Like,
It's my own damn fault.
dude, literally, like I would have that conversation with my therapist like over and over again because it's, oh wow, like yeah, like I'm the one that I essentially choose what stresses me out and what doesn't. Because like, I mean, a perfect example is
Say that
just like
again. Say that again.
I choose what stresses me out and what doesn't.
One more time.
I'm the motherfucking boss of my stress. No, seriously, because it's so true. And I don't think people like understand that because they don't want to take accountability. Like this perfect example is people who are like, oh my God, everything's working against me. Nothing's going right. I'm always overwhelmed. X, Y, and Z. And it's like, no, okay, well, like, sure, there are a lot of things going on, but like also too, like everybody has a lot of things going on literally every day, day in and day out. So like you choose what overwhelms you and like what doesn't, right? Like, and let me tell you, like being a mom, like I have since then really, really have found this. And I'm just like, all right, like, you know, like today I have like a whole bunch of check-ins. I have like, you know, 50 fucking messages I have to go through from people who are not even checking in today. And it's just like, damn, like I've had three calls this morning recording this podcast. And like the old me would have got so stressed and been like, oh my God, I'm so stressed, blah, blah, blah. And now that I've been like a mom, I'm just like, you know what? Like, fuck it. Like, it's gonna get done today. Like, am I behind? Absolutely. Like, am I gonna sit here and be like, oh my God, oh my God, I'm never gonna get this done. What am I gonna do? Everything's gonna, oh, like, I'm not gonna, like, fuck off. Like, I tell myself to fuck off all day long. I'm like, dude, like, just fucking relax. Like, no one else is causing the stress but you. Like, what do you have to do? Okay, you have to get through your check-ins. You have to take care of your kid. You have to eat. You have to pee. And you have to sleep. That's essentially all you gotta do today. So just get it done. Just literally get it done. But like I said, like I could be the one that would be like, oh my God, this is terrible. My workload is too heavy. Why is this like, which is like not even that, but it's just like you can be the reason for your bad day, essentially.
Yeah, you can be your problem or you can be your solution. And like you were your solution, right? And I think how you phrase things in your brain is very important. And something that, like, I know you've learned in therapy, I've learned in therapy, is thoughts can just be thoughts. Like, you don't have to react to every single fucking thought that you have. In fact, you probably shouldn't, right? But you gave a great example of like, okay, you have a lot on your plate today. You get to do that. You get to be an awesome coach. You get to be an awesome mom. You get to fuel your body and support your body for both your health and your bodybuilding goals, and just to be an overall well-rounded person, to be a leader because your clients look up to you, right? And you know, I was even throwing a pity party for myself like earlier today. And you know, it was one thing where I was like, is this actually a problem? Or am I just making it a problem? And it was me just making a problem for myself. And I was like, okay, what would I change, if anything, to solve this problem? And I answered it, and I was like, okay, so then There you go. There's your answer. Now let it go. But a problem with like the high anxious people is we like to ruminate, right? Like we love rumination and we love it to be fermented so it's nice and stanky and our brain won't fucking let it go and we won't throw it away. We won't fucking throw it out in the garbage, even though it smells like unwashed coochie. But throw that shit out. Throw it out in the trash. Trash day's tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? But that's something where, again, it's so important to have that self-awareness and that perception and to develop it and to understand that a lot of the times the problem that you're making is your own fault because of your perception. But like I said, we say this all the time. When you are the problem, you get to be your solution and you get to figure it out. And that's the whole point of growth. And it's the whole point of that self-respect and those boundaries. Like that's just it. That's the answer.
And I think the thing is too, like you have to change, and that's like hard for people too. Like you have to like change that mindset, and like it doesn't come overnight. It's like that conscious decision. Like Ash is like actively working in therapy on a whole bunch of things, right? And I mean, me too, as always. But it's like
But more so Ash, because Ash is fucked up.
I've been fucked up, dude. I just have 5 years of therapy ahead of you, like 5 or 6 at least.
Dude,
Like
I'm
can.
actually feeling good though. Like I'm feeling good with like working with therapy. Like I look forward to it, you know what I'm saying? And I'm
Do
glad that my clients do too.
you think about once a week?
I do it a little less frequently, like once
Okay.
every other week, only because like it's something where my insurance doesn't pay for it. I
Yeah.
do, and that can like rack up, even though I go to an Australian therapist, so it's kind of discounted because like their money is worth more. The exchange rate's different. So it's
Yeah.
higher in Australia, but cheaper here, whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah.
American discount.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But yeah, no, because like there was a point in time where I would go like twice a week, dude. Like it was insane, but it's good. And like I always see the significant impact it has on our clients, like through their check-ins day, like week to week. Like you can tell. I'll be like, did you have like fucking therapy this week? And they'll be like, yeah, I did. I'm like, wow, your check-in's great. Imagine that.
Dude, can I tell you, like, even for physique athletes, I know you, if you're a physique athlete and you're hearing this, you're like, therapy doesn't fucking matter. I'm gonna tell you, I have an athlete. She had a very traumatic thing that she went through, and I was like, please go to therapy for this. Please, 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 please. I started going to therapy. It's like ragging on like just how amazing I feel because I no longer feel like I'm my own worst enemy. She went to therapy. Dude, her physique, I didn't make a single goddamn change, right? Other than like, you know, other than just mild changes. But dude, her physique when she started going to therapy, I was like,
Absolutely insane. I mean, yeah, like so I was like fucking lazy on my therapy. Like I said, like I'm a person that likes to go all the fucking time because I'm batshit fucking crazy. And like once a week, if not more. And when I was like going through my fucking health phase, like that's when like I like was like only going like once a month just because I was so beat down. I was like, this is like not good or and the minute I started, like I was like, all right, like let's change something, like let's just go. I went every week for like 6 weeks fucking straight. And that is when my antibodies went all the way back down into
You
remission.
like hit that shit. You like put an IV in.
Literally, because I was like, so we were checking my labs like every 8 weeks. And at that point, it was like either getting higher or like it would drop like 1 point. I'm like, okay, this is stupid. And I get it. It takes some time for them to come down based on inflammation. I was like, whatever. And Mark was like, you know what? Like, I don't know what else to do other than time. Like, we're doing everything right. Like, your gut's healed, X, Y, and Z. I'm like, all right, like it's mental. I'll just take the fucking loss on that. So, like I said, 6 weeks, every single week, fucking met with Jill. That's my girl, Jill, home fucking Jill. And we just like, I don't know, whatever, talked about everything we needed to talk about. And then my antibodies went from like 270 to 30. So.
Dude, that mental perception's everything. And like I get if you're someone like me where you're like, I can do it myself.
That was you for so long. And I try to tell you all the time to go to therapy. And like, but it's one of those things where like you
The
don't
thing is,
know.
I went to therapy already and I didn't have a good experience. And that's the
Yeah.
thing is people like that have the, oh, I'm just gonna do it myself because I tried and it didn't work. It's finding the right therapist for you.
But like also too, like coaching's like that. You didn't give up on my coaching though, because you had terrible coaches. Like you just kept going. Like that's a good way to like put it though. It's like,
100%, 100%. And even then, it's like, it is scary to also be vulnerable, right? And it's also like, it's scary to be vulnerable. It's hard to understand that there is someone out there that can help you, but you have to be okay with putting yourself out there. And it's also hard to accept that, like, you can't do it on your own. Like, it is hard to accept that if you have like a big ego, or if you've had so much shit that you have gone through where you're like, I've had to be strong for myself for so long, no one else can help me but me. So in a way, it's like, it's so hard to come to the realization where, one, you're not broken. You have healing that you need to do. There is someone that can help you. And then also there is someone that can help you right now with what your struggles are. And that was something that, again, just like, it took courage. It took courage, and it took like convincing of friends and family to support you through that. That was my pickup, is I needed the just constant reminder that it's not weakness, it's strength.
Yeah. And I think like people who are just so hyper independent, which is something that me and you both are, it's very hard to accept that help. Right. And I don't know if like people use it as an excuse to have a pity party, but they're like, oh no, like I've always been alone. Like I just do this on my, like, you know what I'm like kind of saying? Like, where you find more validation and being the one that like saves yourself, or like, I was able to do this on my
like
own.
A source of pride. Yeah. I mean, I just had such a fucking shit time with therapy in the first place. It just wasn't a good fit. It just put such a sour taste in my mouth that kind of made me think. And of course, this wasn't like the right way of thinking. I don't want to justify it, but like, it was just so unprofessional that like, I was like, oh, if this is what therapy is, I don't want any part of it. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like, it's one of those things where like, much like coaching, if you're too vulnerable or if you just don't have the right fit, it can just put a sour taste in your mouth. It's like food poisoning. It's like, if you tell me that you're eating chicken fried steak, I will go throw up right now. I cannot eat chicken fried steak. So it's just, I understand. I understand where it's like, if you had a poor experience, you don't want to try again. But that's the wonderful thing about being human, is you should try again. You should try again. And that should hold true of almost anything except chicken fried steak.
Except for chicken fried steak. That's a big no. I tell people that all the time, because like, so I, vulnerable moment for me, but I've been in therapy since I was probably like 17. Like when I was in high school, I started going. And just because like my life at home was kind of different.
Sure.
And with that being said, I wasn't like a good kid either. Like, you know, I was out partying too young.
You were a badass as a kid.
Yeah. Just not a good time. Like, terrifies me for when my kid grows up. And it's just like funny to see that dynamic, because like Alex, my boyfriend, had such a different upbringing and was like, oh yeah, like I never did anything wrong. And then there's like me, who was like, God forbid, like didn't even, like, I don't know how I didn't end up in jail, but like, you know, like, yeah. And it's just like, it's so interesting to me, like how our child's gonna turn out. It's like, wow, I'm seeing him.
He's gonna eat, law of averages, he's gonna be good.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm like, hopefully it like evens out somehow. But nonetheless, like I always tell people, like I have probably seen at least like close to 20 different therapists in my life until I found,
no kidding.
I found Jill. Yeah. So, and I found Jill like 5 years ago, when I moved back to Ohio, and I found her through actually the eating disorder clinic that I was working with, because of my like anorexia and then binging and purging. So she had that background, which was great. But like I said, like you have, it's hard to go to therapy, be vulnerable for those like first appointment or two, and then like realize that they're not helping you. And it's like, oh my God, like I, and then, so of course you want to be closed off, because like you shared these intimate moments with you. So like, then you build resentment for it, but like really you're only hurting yourself, and it continues to build up because you're not getting that help. And it just like sucks, like that there's just like not good therapists in their space or whatever community, but like also it's just like not the good one for you, right? So I always tell people, like, yeah, like, you know, because I do hear that a lot. We're like, oh, I've tried it, it just doesn't work for me. It either doesn't work because the therapist isn't the right one for you, or you're not willing to change and do the work. Because 100%. I think people are very skewed on the understanding of therapy. Like, I think some people like to go into it and be like, well, I went, like, shouldn't I be healed? That's like going to the gym and signing up and walking out and be like, well, why don't I have muscles? Like, you know, like,
Why don't I look like John Jewett?
literally, yeah. Like, why am I not Mr. Olympia? I went to the gym once and I walked on the treadmill for 10 minutes. Why am I still fat? Okay, well, like, there's work that needs to be done outside of it too, right? Like, you have to have,
Homework.
yeah. And like, it's hard to do that homework because, like, I think people want like that clear cut, like, okay, here, like you go home every day and you write down, I am grateful for my family. Okay, do that 10 times every day for a week and you should just be euphoric and happy and feel good all of the time. It's not like that. Like the homework
Yeah.
you do has to come from like whatever traumas and psychological blocks
Yes.
that you have. And there is never going to be someone that's like identical. Even twins will not even have like the identical, you know, thought process. And I mean, they're probably very close and stuff like that, but everybody feels things different. Everybody interprets things different and everything. People like understand things differently, right? So it's like doing that homework is going to be so vastly different. So it's like having that, oh, well, it doesn't work for me mindset because I've tried it and X, Y, and Z. It's like, well, sometimes that reflects on you as the person, as the patient, because like you have to be willing to, yes, try certain things and they give you certain guidelines and certain exercises to do. And the exercises are supposed to get you to the point of like bringing that to the surface, but also like changing the pattern you've been so used to doing.
Exactly. And I know like there are things where it's like some people like to journal, some people like to do like I ams, where it's like I am grateful, I am loved, all that stuff like that. Like that stuff doesn't resonate with me. And so my therapist is like, well, you should try meditation. It's like, okay, well, I've tried that in the past. I didn't understand like the point because again my issue is rooted in like perfectionistic like tendency. So I thought if I couldn't focus on my breath, I fucking sucked. It wasn't working, right? And she's like, that's not the part of meditation. She's like, it's recharge time. So the whole idea of calling it meditation or recharge, I'm like, this doesn't resonate with me. Like this, I feel silly. What clicked, and now I actually want to quote unquote meditate. I call it timeout. Because when I am overstimulated and overwhelmed, I need a fucking timeout. AJ's gonna need timeouts. He's gonna feel overstimulated, overwhelmed. He's gonna throw tantrums. He needs a timeout. There's no
It's
difference.
not a negative thing.
It's not a negative thing. It honest to God is one of the best gifts you can give yourself is a timeout. And that for me, it's the same goddamn thing. It's meditation, recharge, whatever. I'm in my bedroom, lights off, blinds down. I call my cat up on my chest where he purrs on me. I pet him and I listen to whatever my therapist sent me. And even if my brain is still all over the place, I gave myself 10, 15 minutes of fucking peace. What a gift. And I was like, now I look forward to wanting to do it versus like, oh, gotta meditate, gotta recharge, like, time out. Love
That's so
it.
funny that you say that because so like I have like two things that I do and like I deem them as like two different things. So like meditate. And meditate is like in the morning, set your day right, or like at night, just like to unwind and relax. Like meditation is like a relaxation thing for me. But when you call it as a timeout, I tell myself, I'm like, dude, you need to fuck off. Like I call it a fuck off because I have to go like get up and like fuck off out of my mind, fuck off out of like my thoughts because like I'm pissing myself off. Like you've been like so pissed at someone, and you're just like, go fuck off. Like that's what I have to tell myself. Cause like again, it goes back to that. You are the reason that you're stressed. Like it's your own. So I'm like, okay, well, whose fault is this? Oh, it's mine. Okay, great. So go fuck off, Ash. Like, go fuck off. Go fuck yourself. So like I do have like moments of that. And like that's where like for me, it's like either meditation is more of like a relaxation, like, oh, this is fun for me. Like I don't try and put that pressure on myself that you were, whereas like a fuck off time is like, okay, you need to go like chill out. Like you're overstimulated, you're overwhelmed, go take a time out. And again, it just comes to, and like when I do those, like I don't know what you think about when you do your timeout things and stuff like that, but like for me, I'm just like, okay, like that was aggressive, that was too much. Like, why are you acting this way? And I'm trying to like tell myself, like, you don't need to have this big of a reaction. And I always think back to like one of the first things you've ever said when we met, and this like lives in my brain, and I always get it wrong, but like, so correct me, but like you always say there's like four things that we're able to
Oh,
control or
your controllables. Yeah. Do I have a worksheet that I've been sending to clients? I was like, do it.
oh my God, send that to me.
Oh, I
I want
got
to.
you.
Because like, well, like one of them is like, you know, you're in control of like your reactions and like how you know, do things. And I'm like, okay. It's so, like, I always think about it. I'm like, I am in control of my reactions. I'm in control of my thoughts. I'm in control of like, so like, it's one of those things that I'm just like, wow, like I am the reason that like, I am so stressed in X, Y, and Z. So like, what can I do to not make this happen again? And then I try and work through that to like change that pattern of behaviors. Because like, if you've ever read like Atomic Habits, which guys haven't, sorry, you need to. It's like a great book. Like everyone should read it at least once a year. But it kind of talks about the thing is like how to create healthy habits or better habits for yourself is like having that replacement. Like you don't just like drop a bad habit, essentially, like you just create a new one. And whether it is positive or, you know, negative, like that's the way that it is. So like for me, like the habit of like before, like say I used to get really, really mad, I would just like throw shit. Like that was a big one for me. Like I would just like toss shit. I would like try and
I
break
don't
stuff.
mean to laugh. I just literally can picture you clear as day just eating something across your kitchen.
Really? Oh my God. Yeah. So I mean, well, like honestly, it's true because so like big backstory, like grew up alcoholics. So like they have that instant rage where shit is just like thrown, doors are slammed. So like
Kicked.
yeah, like that's where my rage comes from. So it's like funny because people are like, oh, I can't picture you getting mad. I'm like, dude, like if I get so mad to the point where I snap, I'm throwing things, I'm breaking things. Like still to this day, I've like done it like in the last 6 months. Isn't that crazy?
Dude, I feel
But
that on an emotional level because my dad was the same. So like that instinct, it automatically like be angry. That same issue. And Eric, much like Alex, cucumber, just cool. And so like when I yell, he's like, but that's what we grew up with, right? Was yelling, anger, throwing
I
shit.
hate it. I hate it. I hate that I do it. Oh
Me
my God.
too.
It gives me such the ick, but it was like a learned behavior, right? And again, like we are in control of that. So like I try so hard. And like now I'm just like trying to be like grateful about because it's like, but like I'm trying to like rewire that. And like that's what I think like we try and instill like in our coaching with everybody, not just on the psychological point of it, but like also too, like with anything you do. Like say you're someone who meal preps and you're the person who's like always like snacking while you're meal prepping day. And it's like, you know, like that's a learned behavior. You keep doing it over and over and over again. And you're just like, holy shit. So then like you have to be like, okay, well, instead of like putting food in my mouth, like maybe every time I want to eat whatever I'm prepping, oh, I just take a sip of water. I take a sip of water. So it's like essentially like having a better behavior until you can honestly figure out like that whole like, well, why am I doing this? Why do I feel the need to do X, Y, and Z? Right. So that's like essentially like what it comes down to. And I think that's like why Ash and I are like always trying to be like, hey, like you need to go to therapy because not only does it carry over into your day-to-day life, but it also is like the enjoyment process of like your coaching experience as well as like how your fucking physique looks. I mean, dude, you said it was a competitor. I've seen people that have lost like 7 fucking pounds in a week during prep because they just let go of stress and all that water just fucking falls off.
Exactly. One of the best books, I feel like, because you mentioned the Atomic Habits, there is like How to Unfuck Yourself. There is the David Goggins and Jocko Wilkins. They have like Can't Hurt Me books and stuff like that. So it definitely depends upon like, are you someone that's more aggressive or do you need more of a gentler approach? But honestly, one of the best books that helped me was The Sleep Book by Dr. Guy Meadows. And this was when I was in like the fucking ball sack thickness of my insomnia and depression,
What's
where
it
I,
called, the sleep?
it's called The Sleep Book by Dr. Guy Meadows. And I was in, again, therapy, CBT, specifically for insomnia, because I was at the point where I was just so overstimulated from like a coaching company that was like overworking me that I just wouldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. My body would not turn off. My brain would not turn off. And so I was literally in therapy for it. And while my therapist was very helpful, we try to set boundaries around sleep. Like, oh, if you can't sleep, don't force it, get up. But the thing is like I was someone that was already addicted to exercise, that had that finite control on every little fucking detail of my life. I did not need more control. I needed someone, and this is why I like the book, to tell me to let go. Let go. Like if you can't sleep, let go. You cannot control it, right? And that was something that was just like so paramount for me that now my mantra is, if like I'm scared that I can't sleep because just from that trauma of like not being able to go to sleep, it's now just like, shake hands with it. Like, you have anxiety, you have these negative thoughts, shake hands with it. Get to know it. Because guess what? Like, your reaction is what makes your body react. So your mental reaction dictates the physical reaction of your body. And like I said, it seems like so small, but it was so profound for me because there are some things that you can control, like your actions, like your response to, you know, your thoughts, what you put in your body, how you move your body. But there are some things that you can't control. And that's what I just sent Ash, that little circle of control worksheet. It's like, there are some things you can't control. So stop trying to fucking control them. Let it go. Shake hands with it.
I love that. Yeah, this worksheet's like really awesome.
Dude, I've been sending it to my clients. I'm like, listen, like, I'm not a therapist. If you work with a therapist, do your homework. But if you're not working with a therapist, do this little exercise just for your peace of mind. Like, just do it. Don't send it to me. Like, I don't want to see it. I don't need to see it. But for your own sake.
Yeah. That's really, really awesome. I'm about Damn. To do it.
This was a heavy, this was a heavy podcast.
I know. Like, I don't even think that was like where we were going with it, but it's where
it was.
Not even close. We're like, okay, we're going to talk about this today.
And we're going to talk about client communication. We just fucking dumped on why therapy is amazing and why you should go or at least consider going.
Well, it really is. And like I said, like, it's that also that profound impact on like the physiological part of your body too. Like, I mean, I have people, you have people who don't fucking poop for a whole week and then you get them into therapy, they start doing better. And once stress
get that shit out of you, get out your scaries, your poopies, like get it, purge it.
Yeah, honestly, because like, I mean, that's like a huge, I mean, everyone knows about it in the health. It's like, oh yeah, like, you need to work on stress. Well, what does that really mean? And it's so different for everybody because everyone has like different stress. Like, I went and did somatic yoga over the weekend. You fucking tight. So if you guys don't know what like somatic therapy is, it's essentially, I'm not like too well versed in it. So like, if someone's listening to this and they know more about it, they're probably gonna be, you're a fucking idiot. But from my understanding, it's like, essentially it's, you know, therapy that is done through certain movements, usually like circular patterns. So like moving your hips in a circle, X, Y, and Z, or just like certain flows and kind of like yoga, right? Certain positions and certain movements, more so like continuous movements of releasing trauma that is stored in your body. And that's kind of like what this yoga class is about. So there was like certain periods where we were like tapping our body and like you would just like deep breathe and like whatever noise came out on the end of that was like acceptable. Like, it was really cool. It was like a really cool space to be in. But she was explaining it, and it's just like everyone's trauma is so different. Like, when you think of trauma, like, people are like, oh, like the big, the bad, and the ugly is like, you know, like victims of rape, victims of domestic violence, kids who are abandoned, like, you know, things like that that deem traumatic, right? Like, just that's what people always think when you're like, oh yeah, like, I'm, you know, trying to heal my trauma. But like, trauma for somebody else could literally be like, she was like, yeah, the way that like a teacher said like a word to you and in front of a class and embarrassed you, and like you just felt like X, you know, X, Y, and Z some type of way about it, but that weight of that event carried with you, oh, like longer than like it needed to be, right? Like, it impacts you negatively in a way, like that is still trauma, right? So like, even though it's not like the big, the bad, the ugly, and the scary, it still is a profound impact on you, right? And no one can take that away from you or tell you it's not valid, right?
Yeah.
So that's why, like, in the healing space, it's so different too, because everyone's experience, trauma, understandings, and feelings are so different. So when people are like, therapy doesn't work for me, that homework doesn't work for me, I've tried X, Y, and Z, well, you know, there's just so many different ways, so many different therapists, so many different things and avenues and ways to navigate through that. And you have to be willing to keep showing up. And it's the same thing if you're just working with a coach to have like a killer body, it's like, all right, well, there's 10,000 fucking ways we can do this, right? We just have to find the way that works for you, right? Like, whether you're someone who trains 2 days a week or 5 days a week, like, you know, maybe 2 days a week is enough and you're going to lose 40 fucking pounds, whereas someone needs 5 days a week to lose 40 fucking pounds. Like, you know, it's just so vastly different.
Yeah, I think it's really important to understand that, like, if you are someone that is so hesitant to therapy, it's like, why? Do you honestly think it's not going to work? Do you think you're broken? Like, it is going to be hard. Like, we're not going to like just like talk about how it's amazing and easy and like, no, it's hard to confront why like you're having a hard time. It really
It's
is, but it's worth it.
that, well, yeah, like we're like, oh my God, therapy is so great. So it's great because you how you feel as the aftermath, but like
Yes.
going through it is hard.
Oh,
Like
it's so hard.
when I first met my therapist 5 years ago, the one that I have now, and I was like doing all the eating disorder stuff, and I started drinking again, and I fell apart from my last relationship. I couldn't do anything else on those days of therapy. They were so taxing on me. I would have an hour-long session of therapy and I would have to go home and like take a nap. Like I would have to sleep for 3 hours to recharge because it was so exhausting. So like when you're actually committed to healing, it's fucking hard, guys. Like, it is, but then like the next day I was like, wow, I feel like I can breathe. Like, you know, like whatever was inside of me that I released the day before at therapy, like literally was like a weight lifted off of my shoulder. And like that's why we're like, oh my God, it's so great because we're starting to actually heal and feel better. But getting there is hard.
Yeah, it's so different than coaching, right? It's like you have the first 8, 10, 12 weeks where you're breaking bones. Like you have to break bad habits that don't align with what you want to create for yourself. Therapy is the same way. You have to break and sometimes re-break, you know, these habits and tendencies that you were exposed to as a kid, or maybe that you learned as a young adult, or however old you are, that you're still having problems and having a hard time because of the human experience. It is hard, 100%. You are going to cry. You are going to be angry. You are going to be overstimulated. Like, it is hard fucking work. But like with most hard work, when you get to the other side, when you climb that mountain, you see the best fucking views. But you gotta keep going. Like, if you quit when it gets hard, you will never know how capable you are, whether it's your mental resiliency, your physical resiliency. And yeah, like, it's one of those things where it's like I said, like, I wish I would have done it sooner, but it doesn't matter. I did it when I needed to do it. And therefore, now I feel better because of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a big person that's like, whatever your timeline, you know, like, sure, you could have done it 10 years earlier, but like you didn't, and that's fine because like I think, you know, everything happens for a reason, and right now is the reason. Like the time is fucking now.
Yeah. Like if I'm glad I did it now because I'm doing it now, I have athletes that see the benefit and are doing it now. So like, yeah, maybe I would have felt better 10 years ago, but at the same time, maybe it wouldn't have had the same impact that I'm having now because it's like, hey, listen, clients, I'm doing this too. Like I'm breaking bones too. And again, like who knows? This is just speculation on my end, but regardless, you get the benefit and you do it and you get better because of it.
Yeah, we're all just trying to get better, guys.
Exactly. What are you thankful for or grateful for?
I am really, really, I've actually just been like really grateful for my life. Like I've been telling Alex that like the last couple of days. I'm like,
That's a good one.
I'm just like so grateful for like everything we have. I'm like, I love our life. Like the other day, I was like, Alex, like if there's like one thing you could change about our life, like what would it be? Like anything, like a bigger house, more money, like X, Y, and Z. And like he's just like, I don't know. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I would change anything. Like, sure, some of those things are great, but like I love everything in my life right now. Like, I love my friends, I love my kid, I love like my job, I love my house, I love that I have the ability to just like do things that I enjoy, like you know, and it's like I actually am enjoying them. So I'm just very, very grateful for pretty much like fucking everything. What
Dude,
about you?
snaps and claps. And honestly, my answer is going to be the same. And it's funny because I was having my little like episode this morning and I stopped myself. I was like, what would you change? And the only thing I could come up with is I wish I had more people to help. I wish I had more clients that I could help, more athletes to help. And if that is the only thing that I would change in my life, that is a damn blessed life. Like, I have a happy marriage. I have a healthy husband. I have healthy and happy cats. I have a roof over my head. Yes, our heater shit the bed, but guess what? We had the money to fix the heater. And we have a heated house, which is great because we're about to get fucking snow in Charleston. Yeah. Like, my family's health is as good as it's gonna get. Like, I still have people in my life that give a fuck about me. And like I said, if the only thing I would change is more athletes to help, that is a damn good life. So I'm gonna give that answer too.
Love that. I love that. I love that.
Cool. Anything else on your mind?
No. Enjoy the cold though.
I will. I'll wear a beanie. And we weren't wearing beanies. I'm surprised we're not wearing beanies today.
Well, yeah. What's the temperature there right now? I'm curious.
Oh, it's actually decently. I mean, decently. It's like 40 degrees, but like it'll be like 18 soon. And that's cold. That is cold for Charleston.
Yeah. Let me see where we're at. Oh, yes. We're at 10, but it feels like -2.
Fuck you.
And I asked Alexa this morning at like whatever, like 5 or 6 o'clock when I got up. She's like, it's 4 degrees. I was like, nice.
Yeah, Tuesday and Wednesday, it's the low is going to be 28, 26, and we're supposed to get snow.
Oh my God. Low on Wednesday for us is -6.
I don't even understand. Like I understand how it works, but that's not a temperature. You know what I'm saying? That's like, that's a punishment.
Yeah.
Your weather needs time out, man.
Yeah, Mother Nature, time out.
Time out for you, bitch. Awesome. That's all I got. I got to take a piss, and I'm sure you do too. But it was good seeing you. I love you, and I'm glad you're in my life.
Bye. Love you. Peace.